God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the second day of November 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music from Brenda Waterloo, and then the message from our guest speaker, evangelist, and author, Dr. Bill Rice. Eternal life is a gift. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
We got 1 John 5. We're going to look at verses 11, 12, and 13 as we looked at them this morning in Sunday school. If you would, please, out of respect to the Bible, let's just stand to refresh ourselves as we read. 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Father, help us, I pray, to see clearly what it means to have eternal life and how one obtains it. For those of us who do have eternal life, who are saved, may we think clearly on the subject. And for these, our dear friends here this morning, who have never received eternal life, may this be the day when they do so, I pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been asked the question, are you saved? Have you ever been asked the question, are you born again? Have you ever been asked the question or asked the question, are you going to heaven? Have you ever asked a friend, if I could show you how you would know you're going to heaven and what you needed to do in order to know that you're going to heaven, would you be willing to do it? Well, 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13 talk about eternal life. You could say being saved, eternal life. You could say being born again, eternal life. You could say being on your way to heaven. It's having eternal life. Now, 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13 show us how to have eternal life. Now notice to begin with, the Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now look this way and listen. Eternal life is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. You do not earn it. You do not deserve it. You do not warrant it. You do not purchase it. You do not work for it. It is a gift. You don't get eternal life because you go to church. You don't get eternal life because you say prayers. You don't get eternal life because you have or read a Bible. Eternal life is a gift. Now, it is the wage of sin that one earns. It is separation from God that one earns. It is the opposite of eternal life, death, that one earns. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now listen to this. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So eternal life is not something that you come by naturally or that you earn. What you come by naturally or what you earn is judgment, death, hell, the lake of fire, and separation from Almighty God. You see, it would be easy to come to this church and say, well, it's Sunday morning and I'm in church. And so I don't claim to be perfect. I wouldn't even say that I'm always good. But I do the best I know how, and I love God, and I love America, and I believe in God, and I try to be kind to my fellow man, and I try to treat others as I would have them to treat me. And in saying those things, think that you have eternal life. But you don't. Because eternal life is a gift. You don't buy it. You don't purchase it. You don't own it in the sense that you work for it or deserve it or warrant it. Suppose Brother John said, Bill, I'd like to wash your car. Now try to keep my car clean. Suppose he said, I'd like to wash it. And I say, well, really, it's fine. It's fair to clean. No, he says, I'd like to wash your car this afternoon. No, I say, Brother John, that's all right. I'll take care of it. No, he says, I'd like to wash your car. Actually, I'm giving this illustration, hopefully, to put ideas in the mind of Brother John. So suppose he says, I'd like to wash your car. I say, okay. So he takes my car this afternoon, and he washes it, and it's beautiful. I mean, he does the tires, he washes the car, he waxes the car. It costs me $12, $15 to have somebody do it. And he brings the car back, and he says, Brother Bill, as a gift, I just wanted to wash your car. And I say, that's beautiful. It's a great job. Let me give you $12 for it. I know it costs. Let me give you $12. No, he says, it's a gift. Well, I say, I know it's a gift, but I appreciate it. Let me give you $10 for it. No, he says, Bill, it's a gift. I say, okay, look. Let me give you enough for a hamburger. Let me give you $5 for having washed my car. He says, Bill, it's a gift. Now listen to me carefully. If I gave him $2 for a car wash that could be arguably worth $15, if I gave him only $2, could it be said that the car wash was a gift? No. You see, you don't buy gifts. You don't earn gifts. You don't work for gifts. You don't deserve gifts. You don't purchase gifts. They are freely offered, freely accepted or rejected. I have always been confused about this. This has always confused me, even when I was a kid. We are told that Santa Claus, which of course is a fairy tale, will bring presents or gifts to the kids that are good, which is illogical. If Santa Claus brings gifts to kids that are good, he can't be bringing gifts. Because you don't earn gifts, do you? Did you ever open a present given to you by your wife and say, "Wow, that's a beautiful shirt. What do I owe you for it?" No, Dad, actually, you've already paid for it. So you don't owe her anything. But the illustration breaks down with that a little bit. But the point is, you don't buy gifts. Now, here's the truth. What we earn is death, separation from God, hell, and the lake of fire. Now, don't sit there and say, "Well, Bill, I don't live that way. I don't commit those kinds of sins." Let me ask you a question. What kind of sin would you have to commit before in God's sight you were a sinner and deserving of judgment? Would it have to be a big sin like murder? Or could it include an insignificant sin like an innocent lie? You see, look, a lie may be innocent to you, but it is part of the Ten Commandments and is a sin to God. And it is the kind of sin for which Christ Himself died in your place. Salvation is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. What we earn is judgment. Jesus told the story of a rich man in Luke 16, and of a poor man. A rich man who had not accepted the gift of eternal life, in part because of his riches. He thought he needed nothing. And of a poor man who trusted Christ to do for him what he could not do for himself. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now he is comforted.'" Now listen to this. "And thou art tormented." Why tormented? Why hell? Why the coming lake of fire? Why the judgment of God? Because that is what he had earned. You see, you can sit in this room and say, "Well, Bill, I think I'm as good as the guy sitting next to me." You may be. "I think I'm as good as the pastor, Brother Bill." You may be. "I think I'm as good as you are." Well, you're a shoo-in for that one. You may be far better than I am, but I'm nothing more than a person who literally deserves the judgment of God. And so are you. You see, eternal life is a gift. It's not something you get because you join a church. It's not something you have because you've been baptized. It's not something you have because you live in, quote, Christian America. It is a gift. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. Either you have accepted the gift or you have not. Eternal life is a gift. Number two, it's in a person. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, the Bible says that God has a gift for you that is eternal life, but it's in a person. What does that mean? What does it mean that the gift is in the person? Well, it's referring to the fact that the gift of eternal life was purchased by another on your behalf. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have said unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Now listen to this. "How that Christ died for our sins." See, while salvation or eternal life is a gift to you, it had to be purchased by someone. When you receive a present, you people that had your birthday this week, when you receive a gift, you don't pay for it, but someone did. The gift is free to you, but it costs someone something. Now that's what the Bible is saying here, that salvation is in a person, and that person is Christ, whom the Bible says died for our sins. The Bible says, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And that he was, and that he is." Now listen to me. The Son of God dying in your place to pay for your sin. When you sit there and say, but Brother Bill, I don't consider my sins to be so awful, to be so heinous, to be so bad. Let me remind you that God's Son died on a cross in order to pay the penalty and satisfy God with the fact of your sin. You see, when the Bible says that the gift is in Christ, it simply means that Christ is the one who purchased the gift. Suppose I wanted to give you this credit card. I don't know why I'd want to do that or why you want to take it. But for the sake of illustration, suppose I said, I'd like to give you this credit card. Now, if I offered this Discover card to you, and I said it is a gift, and if this were a legitimate offer, what would you have to do in order to possess it? You just take it. In other words, you don't have to wash the car. You don't have to be good. You don't have to say nice things. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to do that. You just take the card. Now, suppose I said about this card, I want you to have it. It's yours. It's a gift to you. But you can't take it out of my Bible. I'm putting it in my Bible, and you cannot take it out of my Bible. If the gift were free, but it's in my Bible, and I say you can't take it out, what would you obviously have to take to get the gift? The Bible. Okay. When you take the Bible, you get the gift. If you want the gift, you take the Bible. Does that make sense? Here's a card. It's a gift. It's yours. It's in a Bible. When you get the Bible, you've got it. Now, let the Bible represent Jesus Christ. And let the card represent eternal life. This is the record that God hath given to you, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Now look at this. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things, the Bible says, have I written unto you that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So when one has the Son, Christ, the Bible says, he has eternal life. Which brings us to the next question. What does it mean to have the Son? If I say to you, look, if you just have Christ, you have eternal life. If you'll just take Christ, you can have eternal life. Now that's true, but what does it mean? What does it mean to have Christ? It's important to know the answer to that because that's how one receives eternal life. So it's important, isn't it? What does it mean to have Christ? Look at John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1, verse 12, would you? John 1, 12. John 1, 12. You got this? My favorite verse in the Bible. Look at this. I love this. John 1, 12. But to as many as received Him. Now let's stop for a second. John chapter 1 is talking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made in the first two verses of John chapter 1. So He says in verse 12, but to as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on His name. Now, what does it mean to receive Christ? If I say, look, if you'll receive Christ, if you'll have Christ, you can have eternal life. What does it mean to receive Christ? I love this. In John 1:12, to believe on Jesus and to receive Jesus are used interchangeably. Now, look at the verse again. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on His name. Now listen, people. To receive Christ means to believe on Him. To believe on Christ means to receive Him. You with me so far? When one believes on Christ, he receives Christ. If one wants to receive Christ, he must believe on Him. Okay, fair enough. What does it mean to believe on Him? What does it mean to believe on Christ? Somebody says, well, I've always believed in God. I've always believed that Jesus actually walked on this earth. Well, any historian would believe that. I've always believed that Jesus actually died. You might say, I believe that He rose again the third day. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? In the Bible, the word believe and the word faith are the same word. You probably know this. But the Greek, now I'm not a scholar, but you can look this up. The word for faith in the Bible and the word believe in the Bible are the same word. The word believe is the verb. The word faith is the noun version. So if I have belief, I have faith. If I am faithing, does this make sense? If I am faithing, if I'm using faith, then I'm believing. So, to have faith and to have belief mean the same thing. So, what does faith mean? I love this. Look, to believe in the Bible means to rely upon. It means to trust in. It means to have faith in. Like one might with a parachute. You're in a plane. It's going down. You've got to jump out of the plane. You're going to jump to your death unless you trust a parachute. So you say, I'm afraid of jumping out. I have no choice. I can't save myself. The plane's going down. Now listen to this. I will trust the parachute to do for me what I cannot do for myself. When one places his faith in a parachute, when one trusts a parachute, then he can land safely on earth. Are you following this? So the Bible is saying, look, when you have Christ, that is, when you say, God, I can't save me, but I will trust Christ. I believe He's God. I believe He died in my place. I believe He paid for my sin. I believe He offers to me the gift of eternal life, and I will trust in Christ to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Now, here's a wonderful truth. When one believes in Christ, when one receives Christ, then he has eternal life. See, not because he goes to church, not because he says prayers, not because he owns a family Bible, but because he trusts in Christ. You want something you could do right where you're sitting? Somebody says, well, shouldn't one pray in order to be saved? Well, I think it's good to pray. I think it's good for you to know that. But one, from the innermost parts of his heart, says, Dear God, I can't save me, but I'm trusting Christ to. See, that's what it means to believe on the Son of God. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, meaning the one who puts his trust, the one who puts his faith in Christ, has eternal life. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Don't even nod. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever come a time in your life when you trusted in Christ? And don't say, oh, I trust in God every day. Because we're not talking about the same thing. It's like my saying to you, was there ever a time when you were married? And you say, oh, I'm married every day. Well, the answer doesn't fit the question. Suppose I said, are you an Okie? I've been an Okie, you know, every day. No, there was a time you became a resident in Oklahoma. It may have been at birth. It may have been when you were 21 or 35 or 40. But there was a time you became a resident of Oklahoma. Make sense? Now, it may be that you've always been one because you were born in Oklahoma. You've not always been a believer, however, because you're not born believing. You're born sinning. See, the psalmist said, babes come from the womb speaking lies. Is that true? Can small children lie? Of course. Can a baby lie? Can a baby scream without using English, saying to you, oh, I'm in great need. Pick me up. I'm about to die. And you pick them up and they're fine. You know, I've seen one-year-olds outsmart their parents. You ever seen that? You know why they can? Because they're sinners. A pure, innocent, sweet baby is a sinner. Well, if you've got one, you know that's the truth. See, we sin by nature. Eternal life is a choice that we make when we trust on Christ. So has there ever come a day when you said, God, I'm a sinner, I can't save me, but I will trust the Lord Jesus today to do for me what I cannot do for myself? Eternal life is a gift. Eternal life is in a person. And eternal life is a gift in a person that you can have this morning. That is, right now, where you're seated in this service, on the main floor, or in the balcony, you can have eternal life. How? By trusting in Christ. See, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And when one trusts Christ, he can know that he has eternal life. Now note this, people. You don't know that you have eternal life because you feel it. You don't know that you have eternal life originally because you see change in your life. Now, you may feel it. And you will at some point see change. That's true. But that's not how you know that you have eternal life. You know it because you just believe what God says. See, you just take God at His word. I know that I have eternal life. Have you ever heard this kind of testimony I mentioned in Sunday school? I'm ambivalent to testimony meetings. I love them and hate them. I love them because it's wonderful to hear about God's blessings. But sometimes I'm so disgusted at the silly things people say. And a guy will say, I'll never forget the day I was saved. I came forward to the old-fashioned altar, and there was a load, brother, lifted off my shoulders, and I could sense that relationship with the King of Glory. Amen. There was such a load lifted off, and I walked out of that place that day, and the sun was shining. It was in July, and the breeze was blowing. And it was such a wonderful day. There was a mist in the air. And my, what a wonderful day that was when I was saved. So you're saved in Oklahoma in July. You walk outside, the sun is shining. But there's no breeze. It's 102 degrees. There's no mist in the air. It is hot. It is muggy, that's true, but it is nothing but hot. You feel no load lift off your shoulders. You feel kind of sick when you walk out of the air conditioning. And so you say to yourself, I don't seem to feel anything. You don't have to. You don't have to. It's like when I first got married. One of the dumbest questions I have ever been asked in my life. This is honestly, ridiculously stupid. When Mary and I were first married, my wife is here with me. By the way, I forgot to introduce Mary. Pal, would you mind just real quick? Would you mind just standing up? This is my wife, Mary. Yeah, you don't have to do that. You didn't clap for me when I stood up, people. I don't know. Okay, all right. So, when Mary and I were married in 1966, people would say to me after we were married, Bill, do you feel married? Or they would say, how does it feel to be married? And I always wanted to answer with something that I thought was as stupid as the question. So when people said, how does it feel to be married? I wanted to say, oh, like apples. You say, well, that's a stupid answer. Well, of course it is. It's a stupid question. Why? What if I don't feel married? What if I say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I feel married or not. I don't know. No. How do I know I'm married? Well, because there's a little piece of paper that says, Bill, you're married. When you sign this piece of paper, you got married. Yes, I know, but I don't feel it. Maybe I think I'm married, but I'm not truly married. No. You're married when you're married. And you have eternal life when you have eternal life. And you have eternal life when you say, God, I can't save me. I can't take me to heaven. But I believe Jesus Christ can. I believe He's God. I believe He died in my place. I believe He rose again the third day. And I am trusting Him to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Now listen to me, people. When you do that, God says, you have eternal life. And it's all over but the shouting. You can believe it because God says it. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. It's a gift. This life is in His Son. It's in a person because He died for you. And if you have the Son, you have life. He's yours when you believe, when you trust in, when you accept Him to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And you have the right to know it. Now let me ask you a question. Again, don't raise your hand. Do you have eternal life? Do you have eternal life? Has there ever been a day? Has there ever been a time? Has there ever been a moment when you trusted Christ to do for you what you could not do for yourself? Now listen, if you never have, why not make it today? Why not walk out of this place saying, okay, I know I'm a sinner just like that Bill Rice guy is. I know I don't deserve heaven just like he doesn't. But I know God says that His Son died in my place. He paid for my sin. And if I will trust in Him, I can have eternal life. And as best I know how, today I'm trusting in Christ. I'm believing in Christ. I'm accepting Christ to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And walk out of this building saying, I have the gift of eternal life. Let's bow, please, for prayer.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our guest speaker, evangelist and author, Dr. Bill Rice. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.